Once more Jack led them along by the sark and heave of the blinding sea. Once more Ralph dreamed, letting his skillful feet deal with the difficulties of the path. Yet here his feet seemed less skillful than before, for most of the way they were forced right down to the bare rock by the water, and had to edge along between that and the dark luxuriance of the forest. There were little cliffs to be scaled, some to be used as paths, lengthy traverses where one used hands as well as feet. Here and there they could clamber over wave-wet rock, leaping across clear pools that the tide had left. They came to a gully that split the narrow foreshore like a defence. This seemed to have no bottom, and they peered awe-stricken into the gloomy crack where water gurgled. Then the wave came back, the gully boiled before them, and spray dashed up to the very creeper, so that the boys were wet and shrieking. They tried the forest, but it was thick and woven like a bird's nest. In the end they had to jump one by one, waiting till the water sank, and even so some of them got a second drenching. After that the rocks seemed to be growing impossible, so they sat for a time letting their rags dry and watching the clipped outlines of the rollers that moved so slowly past the island. They found fruit in a haunt of bright little birds that hovered like insects. Then Ralph said they were going too slowly. He himself climbed a tree and parted the canopy, and saw the square head of the mountain seeming still a great way off. Then they tried to hurry along the rocks, and Robert cut his knee quite badly, and they had to recognize that this path must be taken slowly if they were to be safe. So they proceeded after that as if they were climbing a dangerous mountain, until the rocks became an uncompromising cliff, overhung with impossible jungle, and falling sheer into the sea. Ralph looked at the sun critically. Early evening, after tea time at any rate.
"I don't remember this cliff," said Jack, crestfallen. "So this must be the bit of the coast I missed."
Ralph nodded. "Let me think." By now, Ralph had no self-consciousness in public thinking, but would treat the day's decisions as though he were playing chess. The only trouble was that he would never be a very good chess player. He thought of the Littlans and Piggy. Vividly he imagined Piggy by himself, huddled in a shelter that was silent, except for the sounds of nightmare. "We can't leave the Littlans alone with Piggy. Not all night." The other boys said nothing but stood round, watching him. "If we went back, we should take hours." Jack cleared his throat and spoke in a queer, tight voice.
"We mustn't let anything happen to Piggy, must we?"
Ralph tapped his teeth with the dirty point of Eric's spear. "If we go across," he glanced round him, "someone's got to cross the island and tell Piggy we'll be back after dark." Bill spoke, unbelieving.
"Through the forest by himself? Now?
We can't spare more than one."
Simon pushed his way to Ralph's elbow.
"I'll go, if you like. I don't mind, honestly."
Before Ralph had time to reply, he smiled quickly, turned, and climbed into the forest. Ralph looked back at Jack, seeing him infuriatingly for the first time.
"Jack, that time you went the whole way to the Castle Rock?"
Jack glowered.
"Yes."
"You came along part of this shore, below the mountain, beyond there?"
"Yes."
"And then?"
"I found a pig run. It went for miles."
Ralph nodded. He pointed at the forest.
"So the pig run must be somewhere in there."
Everybody agreed, sagely.
"All right, then. We'll smash a way through till we find the pig run."
He took a step and halted.
"Wait a minute, though. Where does the pig run go to?"
"The mountain," said Jack. "I told you."
He sneered.
"Don't you want to go to the mountain?"
Ralph sighed, sensing the rising antagonism, understanding that this was how Jack felt as soon as he ceased to lead.
"I was thinking of the light. We'll be stumbling about."
"We were going to look for the beast.
There won't be enough light."
"I don't mind going," said Jack hotly. "I'll go when we get there. Won't you? Would you rather go back to the shelters and tell Piggy?" Now it was Ralph's turn to flush, but he spoke despairingly, out of the new understanding that Piggy had given him. "Why do you hate me?" The boys stirred uneasily, as though something indecent had been said. The silence lengthened. Ralph, still hot and hurt, turned away first. "Come on." He led the way and set himself, as by right, to hack at the tangles. Jack brought up the rear, displaced and brooding.